Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf. We're learning today the Nishmas Philip Ice Pinchas Ben Mordechai. All the Neshamas we learned for should have an Aliyah. We begin in the Gemara that is Daf Kuf Amud Aleph, eight lines from the top of the Amud with the words Amar Abayi. We'll remind ourselves what we're talking about as soon as we get into the discussion. So Abayi says, Amar Abayi, Bor Birishus HaRabim. If you have a pit in the middle of the Rishus HaRabim, and this pit has the dimensions Amuka Asara, is 10 Tvachim deep, therefore it is considered a Rishus HaYochid, as long as it's 4 Tvachim by 4 Tvachim wide, and here it's actually more than that. Rach Bo Shmona, it's 8 Tvachim by 8 Tvachim wide. So this is a real Rishus HaYochid within this Rishus HaRabim. So we've set up this case this way to give us the first pshita, the first simple case, to tell us if somebody throws in the Zorak L'Socho Machatzel, if somebody threw a mat into this Rishus HaYochid bar, Chayiv, you'd be Chayiv and throwing it from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid. Now, it's obvious, Rashi says over here, there's no Chiddush over here, the Chiddush will be to set this up for the next case. Many of the Farshim point out there is a Chiddush over here, or that you have to explain over here that the bar is at least more than 10 Tvachim deep, so the mat doesn't take up less than, to make it less than 10 Tvachim deep. Otherwise, we have the same question that we had the whole discussion yesterday, is making the Mechitza at the same time that you're doing the act of Zrika going to be Chayiv, Bahadi Hadadi or not, as we'll see in a moment, but this is the whole end of the discussion this year yesterday. So the simple understanding over here, according to many Mephoshim, that it's at least 10 Tvachim deep, it's more than 10 Tvachim deep, so when you throw this mat in there, it doesn't diminish the size of the bar to make it less than 10 Tvachim deep. So therefore, Yechayiv, this is a clear example of throwing something from Shusha Rabim, this mat, into the Shusha Yochid, this bar, and therefore Yechayiv. That's Pshita. What happens if, however, Chilka, the Machatzelis, you put this Machatzelis, this mat in over here, and you put it in a way that it is going to split this Rishus HaYochid into two equal halves. So you have exactly 8 Betzimtzum, and now you're going to have it to be 4, but a little bit less, because the mat itself takes up place. So therefore, one side of the mat to the wall of the bar will be 3.9 Tvachim, and the other side of the mat to the wall will be 3.9 Tvachim. So when you throw this in, Abayi says, in this situation, you're a potter, because you've now diminished this Rishus HaYochid and made it into a Mokum Ptur. And therefore, from throwing from the Rishus HaRabim into this pit, which is no longer Rishus HaYochid, is going to be potter. Person is not going to be Chayiv Achatas in this situation because it no longer has the dimensions of a Rishus HaYochid because you split it in half with this mat in this situation. Now, that's what Abayi says, and the Gemara says, La Abayi de Pshitale, according to Abayi, it's partial over here, the Machatzelis Mivatla Mechitza. This Machatzelis splits over here this Rishus HaYochid bar into two separate parts, and therefore it's Mivatal, the definition that it was a Rishus HaYochid. It's Mivatlo the Mechitza that made it into Rishus HaYochid from the Rishus HaRabim, and it's now into these two small areas that aren't Rishus HaYochid. Therefore, you're not Chayiv for throwing something in there. That is Pasha to Abayi. So, something that is Labayi, the Pshitale in this situation, that the Machatzelis is Mivatlo the Mechitza, makes it Ois Rishus HaYochid, even though as you're throwing it in simultaneously, it was Rishus HaYochid, but it becomes Ois Rishus HaYochid when you put in the mat and separates into 3.9 by 3.9. So then, Kol Shekein in this situation, Chulya, the case from yesterday, we talked about throwing the dirt into this pit, that was exactly 10 Tvachim, and as you simultaneously threw the dirt in there, you thought you might have been over throwing the dirt from the Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid, but you're Mavatul L'Mechitza. So if in this case with the mat, which isn't going to be permanently left in the pit, Abayi says it's Poshut that you're Mavatul L'Mechitza, so certainly Koshukin Chulya with the dirt, the Mavatul L'Mechitza. The case from yesterday, according to Abayi, would be even more Poshut that simultaneously destroys the Mechitza at the time that you're throwing it in there. If the mat, which isn't a permanent addition to this pit, ruins it. So therefore, the dirt certainly ruins it. That's the opinion of Abayi. According to Rav Yochanan from yesterday, who asked the question, the Meboyele Chuya, he asked the question in regards to the Chuya, the dirt, does it or does it not Mavatel Mechitza? And he was left with the Meboyele Lov Shitele, he didn't answer the question. So if the dirt, he has a question, certainly Machatzelis, which is not to be left there permanently, pshita de lo mevatla mechitza. So that will certainly not be mevatla mechitza. And when you throw the mat in there, even though it's going to go on its side and separate into a 3.9 area and a 3.9 area, nevertheless, yachayev over here, it wasn't mevatla mechitza before yachayev for the act of zrik of this machatzelis and the shusaradim into shusayochid. So this is a further understanding of Abaye's opinion and Rav Yochanan's opinion from yesterday. Abaye adds this and says, "Vamar Abaye, bar bishus harabim. If you have a pit in the rishus harabim, amuko asara, it's 10 tvachim deep, so it's a separate rishus. Rochvo arba, and it's 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim wide, so it is a separate rishus hayochid within the rishus harabim, and it's mileya mayim, it's filled up with water. So now the zarach lesocha, if you throw something in it, chayev." You would be chayiv, as we pointed out in yesterday's shiur. The water is considered like it's all on the ground. We don't view the fact that the water is filling up the bar. The bar is considered, so to say, still empty. The water is considered like it's on the all on the ground, on the bottom. So you throw something into this water. It's like you throw it onto the ground at the bottom. And that's throwing something with shusarabim into the shusarayachid. You'd be chayiv. Fine. However, malaya peros, if this bar was filled up with fruit, we don't view the fruit as being non-existent, so to say. The water we consider being non-existent, it's all like it's the bottom of the pit over here, and you throw in a rock or something, it will sink to the bottom, so therefore the water is considered non-existent. But the fruits, if you throw in a rock, it's going to land on top of the fruits, it's not going to go right through the fruits, and therefore if it's malaya peros, if this bar is filled up with fruit, we do consider it that it's no longer 10 tefachim deep, and therefore v'zarech l'socha, if somebody throws something into this pit that's filled up with fruits, potter, in this situation, you would in fact be potter. So what's the difference between the water and the fruits? My time up. Samara explains what I just said. Mayim lo mevatle mechitzosa. We don't consider the water as nullifying the fact that it's 10 tefachim deep and making the mechitzos, i.e. the depth of this pit, as being non-existent. No, the water, anything will sink to the bottom of the water. However, peros, they're blocking the bottom. And therefore, peros mevatle mechitzosa, that uproots it from being a 10 tefach deep pit, it makes it a 5 tefach deep pit because there's 5 tefachim worth of fruits in there, and therefore it's mavatli mechitzasa, it's no longer rishus hayachid, and therefore in this situation you would be potter from throwing from the shusarabim into this pit filled with peros because it no longer has a depth of 10, it's no longer rishus hayachid. And we have a braisa in support of this. This was Abaye's opinion. So now we have a braisa in support of Abaye's opinion. We have a tanoic source for his amoroic opinion. Tanina mihochi. Hazorik min hayam. If somebody throws from a yam is a carmelis, as we're going to learn momentarily. If you throw from the yam, isracha. Isracha, Rashi says, is a rishus harabim. So you're throwing from a carmelis into rishus harabim, or umin ha-isracha, from this rishus harabim, liyam into the carmelis, potter, because throwing from a rishus harabim into a carmelis or from a carmelis into a rishus harabim is not an issa daraisa. That's the opinion of the Tanakama. However, Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer, im yesh b'mokum shezorok omuk asora v'rochav arba. If over here you have where you're throwing it, as Rashi says, bayam, if you have in this yam, this carmelis, a place where you're throwing the rock, let's say, into the yam, and it has a rishus hayochid within the yam, what does that mean? It has a cavern or a hole in the bottom of the ocean or the bottom of this sea or lake that is asara tvachim deep, the roch of arba, and it's 4x4 tvachim wide. So that's now a separate entity within the yam, chayiv, because we say over here that the water doesn't mevatel the mechitza. So in this sea, even though the sea is wide and deep, it's still a carmelis. But this pocket in here, this hole within the yam that is 10 tvachim deep and at least 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim wide is considered a separate entity, and the water above it doesn't ruin it, it doesn't mevatel mechitza. So that's what Rav Shimon is telling us. This din that it's not mevatel mechitza applies over here as well. As Rashi in Dibur HaMaskil, Rav Shimon Omer says that in this situation, below heavy kishar yam, this little hole in the bottom of the ocean over here, or the bottom of the lake over here, that would be thousands of feet down. It could be 10 feet down. So below heavy kishar yam, it's not looking like the rest of the yam. Avogab, the yamanami omoku, even though the water is deep, we're not talking about very shallow water elsewhere around it. Nevertheless, mele shamina, we see from what Rabbi Shimon said, the mayim lo mevatli mechitza. The water above this isn't mevatel this like crevice or this hole in the bottom of the seabed over here that is at least 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide, separate from the rest of the bottom of the seabed. Now we begin the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Hazorek arba amos bekosel. We've had this Mishnah several times already. So if you're throwing something in the Rishus HaRabim, you're 4 amos away from the kotel. and you're throwing something at this kosel over here, and if you throw it lamala me'asor tefachim, if you're throwing it above 10 tefachim, so therefore it's above the definition of the Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim only goes up to 10 tefachim. So then, kizorik ba'adir. It's as if you threw it in the air and you're not chayiv. However, lamata me'asor tefachim, if you threw it below 10 tefachim, it's kizorik baritz. It's no different than if you threw it on the ground. And hazorik baritz, arba amos chayiv. And if you saw something on the ground and it travels more than 4 amos from where you are going to be chayiv echatas. It's an issur daraisa. And since we've had this already, we'll jump right into the Gemara. Volo noach, he threw it against the wall, so it bounces back off the wall. So it never landed and rested on the wall. Where was the hanacha? When it rests, it's back with you. So you throw the ball against the wall, and it comes back to you, and you catch it. So it never landed 4 amos away from you. So there's no hanacha. So how you chayiv? So the Gemara answers the famous statement we've had from Yochanan several times. Amar Rav Yochanan, we're talking here bedveilo shmeino shaninu. We're talking here about a sticky fig, a fatty, sticky fig, that when you throw it against the wall, it sticks to the wall. So if it sticks above 10 tefachim, it never landed in the Rishus HaRabim. And if it's below 10 tefachim, it landed in the Rishus HaRabim. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Chiya. He explains the following case. Zorak lemalo me'asora v'holcho v'nocha b'chur. If a person were to go and throw something lemala me'asara above the 10 tefachim of the Rishus HaRabim, and it lands on the wall, v'holcha v'nocha b'chur, it lands in a hole in this wall, and this hole is at the 10 tefachim spot. Now Rashi doesn't really discuss this here, so you actually can look on the Rabbeinu Chananel. This is Rabbeinu Chananel's found on Daf Kuf Omud Beis. If you go turn to there, it's on the wide lines of the Rabbeinu Chananel, 3 lines from the top of the wide lines, in the middle of the line with the words Pirish. What we're talking about is the following case. Kigon shahaya zeh hachur atzmo, this hole in this wall, is kigavoa yud tefachim, it's exactly 10 tefachim. Umikarkoyes hachur ulamata asara tefachim, so from this hole over here to the bottom, there is 10 tefachim, shemichuvonim, exactly. The ilu hayo bechur dalet al dalet, if in this chur, in this hole, there was a space of dalet al dalet, 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, then divrei hakol k'rishus hayochid. Then everybody read that that's a real valid rishus hayochid, and therefore, if you throw from the rishus harabim into this chur, v'chayiv, you would be chayiv. That would be throwing from rishus harabim into rishus hayochid. Hazorik rishus harabim l'socho, you'd be chayiv. Ushmaisim, what is our case, however, is bechur, in this hole, the less bay dalet al dalet. It has less than 4 by 4 tefachim. Now, the question will be, this is a machlokis that we have elsewhere, between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, and that's what the Gemara is alluding to. And it says, in our Gemara now, let's keep your place on the Rabbeinu Chananel, we'll go back to our Gemara. Our Gemara says, Zorak, in this situation, L'mala me'asar, v'holch v'nocha b'chur, kol shehu, and it lands in this chur, that is less than 4 by 4 tvachim, kol shehu, banu l'machlokis Rav Meir v'Rabbanon. This is the machlokis between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Rav Meir, damar chokin l'hashle m'chayev. According to Rav Meir, who says that you go and carve out an area that's 4 by 4 tvachim, we'll see what we're talking about, you be chayev, because we view this area as not being a mashu, but we carve it out and make it 4 by 4 tvachim. So now it landed in the Rishus HaYachid, even though it physically doesn't have it, but you could carve it out, and therefore we view it as being carved out. Again, we'll learn this from Mezuzah, which I'll explain that case in a moment. M'chayev. And L'Rabbanon D'Amri Ein Chokik L'Hashlem, that we don't carve out an area. It's either there or it's not. We don't say it could be there, and we carve it out. So according to the Chachamim, say you don't carve it out, so lo, it's not lo mechayiv, it's not in the Rishus HaRabim. So Rashi points out over here that this is a machlokas B'Chokik L'Hashlem in the Gemara in Yuma, in Perakama, the first Perak in Yuma, and in Erevin. And now we'll look in the Rabbeinu Chananel, again, turn back to the Omud Beis, and continue in the Rabbeinu Chananel, who explains a little bit more. So Rabbeinu Chananel continues and he says, Rav Meir Sovar, Kol Ki Hay Gavno Chokikin L'Hashlem. So he says, the case in the Gemara in Yuma and Erevin is that you have an archway. Now, a mezuzah is required on a doorway if the doorway is at least 10 tefachim tall and it is going to be 4 tefachim wide. So in this situation, you have an archway, it's not going to have those dimensions. So the tip of the archway is 10 tefachim from the ground, but that wall slants down. It's an arch, and therefore you don't have the entire requirement for a mezuzah. But if you were to carve into the archway wall, chokikin, you would have a structure that is appropriately sized 10 tefachim tall and 4 tefachim wide top. And therefore, Rav Meir says, Chokikin lahashlim, we halachically view this area as being carved out, and therefore you could put the mezuzah on the archway wall because it is able to be hollowed out if you wanted to. And the Chum say, no, you can't do that. The Chum say that you can't. So Rav Meir, keep on reading in the Rabbeinu Chananel, he says, "Ki I gav nechokin lahashlim, v'kivin sheish bovi akosel lochuk, since there is room over here to carve out within this wall, ulashlimo l'chur, to make this chur dalit al dalit." In our case over here, as well as in the case of the mezuzah, there was room to carve it out to make the dimensions that you needed. Therefore, roin b'kavonas halev, we view this halachically, as if it's already carved out, and therefore the yeshua dalet al dalet, and therefore chayiv according to Rav Meir for throwing something from the rishus harabim into this chur, which is a separate rishus. It's 4x4 and it's more than 10 tefachim. The chachamim omrim im yesh bechur hazeh dalet al dalet chayiv. The chachamim say if it has 4x4, then you chayiv. Abol lachuk lahashlim, but to go and theoretically carve it out without actually doing it. Ein chokikin, just like by the case of the wall for the mezuzah, the arched wall, we don't say chokikin lahashlim, so tovir. Kei gavna, chakika belibo is nothing. We don't say that this is done. Elar haryu kegeder gavo ayu tfochim the ein aroch of dalid, shazorit lesocho potter. This is halachically considered not like Rishus HaRabim, it would be a mokum tur, and you would not be chayav. So that's our Gemara, based upon the Rabbeinu Chananel's interpretation. So let's go back to our Gemara now. Our Gemara continues and says, Tani Nami Hochi, we have a braisa in support of this understanding. What is that? Zorak Lamala Me'asora. If you threw something above 10 Tvachim, V'hoch V'nocha B'chur Koshu. The braisa states exactly this case. But here, it's stating specifically Rav Meir Mechayev V'chachamim Potrin. Exactly like we interpreted it, here it says it Beferish. So the Amar Rav Chiya that we had as an Amoraic statement, we have over here in a Brisa exactly the same thing. Mark continues and says, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav. Now we have another din over here that sounds a little bit like Chokikin Lahashlim, but it's different, but it's brought down over here for the same idea. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says, Tel HaMislakit Asara Mitoch Arba. You have an inclined dirt area or an inclined street of any sort, and it inclines in the following. It's mislake. The tail is a little mound. It's a Hebrew and an English word, tail. And this word tail is a mound. Hamislake asori. It gathers 10 tefachim in height, mitoch arba amos, over a 4 amma period of time. So the slope, if you wish, is 4 amma. And it does this within a distance of a hypotenuse over here of 4 amos. The slope is 4 amos. It actually would be 3.6 amos if you went horizontally. So this height over here of getting to 10 tefachim is with a slope of 4 amos, and that would mean the horizontal bottom part is actually about 3.6 amos if you go do the calculations. In any event, this is called Tel HaMislakeh Asara Mitoch Arba. And it goes and gathers this area over here of being 10 tefach tall with an incline that is a slope of 4 amos. Now, in this situation, this top over here is considered a separate reshus. Bizarak v'noch al gabab. If you threw something on top of this tel ha-mislaki, asar mitoch arba, chayiv, you'd in fact be chayiv. Now, this is an Amoric statement. Again, a Yehuda Marab. So we have a tiny nami hoch. We have a braisa that says the same thing. Mavui. If you have a mavui is a enclosed area on three sides, sometimes on two sides, but let's work simply over here with three sides, that's opening into Rishus HaRabim. So this is an alleyway that opens into Rishus HaRabim. So midaraisa, you can't go from one to the other. The mavui technically is Rishus HaYochid, and you'd be going into Rishus HaRabim. You can't go carry. But within the mavui, you're allowed to go and carry within the mavui, as long as you make some sort of a hecker that you won't go into Rishus HaRabim. So you make a sheet of mavoyu, so you can carry in this mavui, and it has a status of being Rishus HaYochid, but you need to have some sort of a hecker that it doesn't go into the Rishus HaRabim. Without this hecker, people could carry there very easily. So you put up a lechi or a korah. But if this mavui is sheshove lesocho, it's flat on the ground, v'nasa madron Rishus HaRabim. But before you get into Rishus HaRabim, it was flat, but now there is an incline down. And this is over a span, again, of the 4 amma slope, is going to reach a depth of 10 tefachim, or up, the same thing. Oshav l'shus harabim, or looking at it from the shus harabim side, going into the mavoi side, v'nasa madro l'socho, and it inclines downward l'socho. So osa mavoi einot tzorich l'lechi v'lokori. In this situation, that's the hecker. This is like a fourth wall over here, and therefore you don't need a hecker. So this is exactly tani nami yochi, the same din of tela mislaki. Finally, Ruchanina b'Gamliel Omer, tela mislakit asor mitoch arba. If you have over here an inclined area that has a height of 10 tefachim with a slope of 4 amos, so and you throw from the Rishus Rabbim on top of this Zorif, we know Chalgabav, Chayv. Again, he says the same exact thing. This is considered a separate Rishus. It's as if it had mechitzas around it of 10 tefachim. This tela mislakit is the equivalent of a mechitza. We go to the next Mishnah. Zorak, if a person goes and throws L'toch dalet amos, he throws something that doesn't have enough strength to go more than dalet amos. So in the Rosh Hashanah, you wouldn't be chayev. But the wind takes it, and his galgil, it rolls beyond chutz dalet amos. So in this situation, you're potter. You are not going to be chayev achatis over here, as the Mefarshim explained, because it momentarily stopped over here. When the wind took it, it momentarily stopped at, let's say, 2 amos away from you, and therefore, that was the end of the hanocha, and now if the wind blows it further, that's a new akira, and therefore, you're not going to be chayef. The Mishnah continues, and it says, however, chutz l'dalet amos, if you threw this item more than dalet amos, and then the wind takes it, and it's galgo l'sok dalet amos, the wind brings it back, you'll be chayef. The Mefarshim explained, this is the same thing as the first part of the Mishnah, and when the Gemara questions from the second part, they really could have questioned from the first part, but here we're saying that the object that you threw momentarily stopped beyond the Dalet Amos, and therefore there was a Hanacha, and then when the wind blew it back, it doesn't make any difference, you're already with Chayiv, and that's why it's Chayiv over here. Gemara starts off and asks, well, Noach didn't tell us any of this. I already told you outside what the Mefarshim and the Gemara explain over here. But the first question we have is, it didn't land, so why are you chayev? You need to have a hanocha. It doesn't sound like you had a hanocha, but you threw it, and the wind blew it back. So even though it went beyond 4 amos, but it didn't have a hanocha, so why are you chayev? Again, we only asked this on the second part. Unfortunately, you could have asked it on the first part as well. How come you're potter? So the answer of both of them is, Amar Rav Yochanan, Hu shenoch agabi mashu. It must have landed on something. So Rav Yochanan tells us, there was a hanoch over here. It landed on something. Agabi mashu. Where it says, Tani nami hochi. We have a brayser that says the same exact thing. This was Rav Yochanan. So now we have a brayser in support of Rav Yochanan that said, Zorach chutz l'dalet amos. If you throw something beyond the dalet amos, udechafaso haruach, and the wind, so to say, held it up, and then the wind brought it back inside. Even though it takes it out again afterwards, potter. You're in this situation going to be potter, because it never actually rested beyond the Dalet Amos. But if the wind held it up in place, and it landed on something, so even though the wind then blows it back subsequently, you would be chayiv. So the Braisa here says that it landed on a mashu, and that's enough to say that you're chayav. That would be true for the Reish of the Mishnah, but we pointed out over here for the Seif of the Mishnah. That is what Rav Yochanan says, and there's a Braisa in support of what he said. Along comes Rava, Amar Rava, and Rava tells us, I want to qualify the Rabbanan's opinion even more. According to the Rabbanan, who normally hold Lavud, even in this situation, if it was Toch Gimel, the Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Akiva, that's why it says the Rabbanon, according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds Kluta, Keman, Shehu, Chadamya, so we already know that he holds that it's considered like it's on the ground. But according to the Rabbanon, you might have thought that if it's within Lavud distance of the ground, so then it's considered on the ground also. So Rava tells us, no, even according to the Rabbanon, who normally hold Lavud in this situation, even though they don't hold Kluta, Kemo, Shehu, Chadamya, but they do hold Lavud, but in this situation, Tzarech Hanoach Gabi Mashu, the fact that it's within 3 tefachim on the ground is not enough, it has to land on something. So this is what Rava qualified or added on to Rav Yochanan's statement. So Gemara says, Yosef Mirema was sitting and learning, the Karma Lo Loh Shmaisa, and he said over this member that we just said in the name of Rava. And only Ravina Mirema, so Ravina says to Mirema, he says, I don't understand. Lo Lav Hayinu Masnisin, what is Rava adding over here to our Mishnah, the Yom Rabbi Yochanan, Vu Shenoch. Now the gifts that we have is Algab Mashu, or it could be Vu Shenoch Mashu, it landed on something. So Rabbi Yochanan already explained our Mishnah as being that it had to land on something. So what in the world is Rava telling us an additional Chiddush over here when Rava says that we're dealing over here with Toch Gimel Rabbanon Tzorech Hanoch Algabi Mashu? That's the way Rav Yochanan learned the Mishnah. Rav Yochanan was an earlier Amora. Mistama, Rava heard what Rav Yochanan had said. So why is Rava telling it to us again? So the Gemara answers, no, there's a Chiddush over here. Amalei, Mereimar, tells back to Ravina, he says as follows. He says, Misgalgel Karmis, we're dealing here with the case of Misgalgel. So Misgalgel, when the wind blows it, Ain so full of nuach, it doesn't automatically go, I mean it's going to come to land. The wind's blowing it all over the place. I will high, but in our case over here that Rav is talking about, where it's going to land over there, Hakivan the so full of nuach, it's going to land. As Rashi says over here, v'niskar, the guy remembers Achelonoch. So we're talking here, Rashi says about a case where is the guy going to be chai v'chata, so you have to do the whole thing b'shogeg. But here he realizes before it lands that he wasn't allowed to do this. So that takes away the shogeg aspect of it. So nemo kimunach domi. So we might have said it's already considered like it's on the ground because it's within lavud range. It's going to fall on the ground. He threw it there. V'kvar bal isoch gimel. And if it's within three tach on the ground, you might have thought that in this situation it should be chayev. Afagad the lo noch, keman de noch domi. I would say that it is considered on the ground because of lavud. The Chiddush of Rava is that even in this case, the Chacham are going to say no, unless it actually lands on something, even a mashu, despite the fact that it's within lavud, if it didn't land on a mashu, you're not going to be chayv. That's the additional Chiddush that Rava adds to Rav Yochanan's explanation of the Mishnah. Next Mishnah. Hazorek b'yam arba amos potter. If somebody throws something in the yam, and he throws it, dalet amos, in the yam, he's going to be potter. Why? Because the yam is a karmelis, and you're going to be potter from a chatas because the yam doesn't have the status of being over in Issa d'Oraisa. Imhoyo rokak mayim. But if this is, since we're talking about the yam, many of the Mefarshim Slain over here, we're talking about like an inlet from the yam that's going through the Rishus HaRabim. So it's like you're walking on the beach, and there's a channel coming out from the yam. So imhoyo rokak mayim. Rashi says rokak comes to the lotion of a gravel. So this is like a sandy, gravelly area near the yam. So this could get filled sometimes with water. So im hayo rokak mayim, urshus harabim meleches bo. So normally when it's low tide, people can walk there. When it's a higher tide, sometimes it gets filled up with water. So in this situation, where you have this rokak mayim in the urshus harabim, so hazorik lusoch arba amos chayiv. If you throw something here, dalet amos, it is considered not like a karmelis, but it's considered like a urshus harabim, and you would in fact be chayiv. We say that this rokak doesn't lose its status of being the Rishus HaRabim just because it's a rakak filled with water. How do we define this? V'kamahu rakak mayim. How much water is there before we say it's a karmelis and no longer the Rishus HaRabim? So the Gemara says, pachos me'asar tefachim. It has to be less than 10 tefachim. If it's more than 10 tefachim, it no longer is called a rakak in the Rishus HaRabim. It's called a karmelis. It's called a yam. Then the Mishnah seems to repeat itself. Very strange. Rakak mayim urshus harabim meleches bo. Exact same words. If you have a rakak of mayim, this inlet of water over here, and the urshus harabim is going through this water, in other words, it's like an inlet or a channel coming out of the yam that the urshus harabim goes through, and now it's a higher tide and it's filled with water. Hazorik besoch arba amos chayiv. If somebody throws within it, dalet amos yuchayiv. Now, I just note for myself, I don't know why. Before it said Hazorik lissocho, and here it says Hazorik bissocho. I'm not sure why there was a change in the words. In any way, the Mishnah seems to be repeating itself totally. And that's why the Gemara starts off right away and says, how come we repeated ourselves? Amalei ha'run l'Rava, one of the Talmidim said to Rava, I don't understand our Mishnah. Bishlama hiluch hiluch trei zimne. I understand why he had to tell me mahaleches, as Rashi says, the nokat trei zimne rishus harabim mahaleches bo. So it had to tell me that twice. Why? So one time the Gemara says is Hokamashbulon Hiluch Aideat Chak Shme Hiluch and Tashmish Aideat Chak Lo Shme Tashmish. So I understand why it tells me Halechas Bo. As Rashi explains over here, the Nokat Trezimne Rishus Rab Malechas Bo Chad Lememro, one to teach me the E Ein Regilin Lahalech Bo Potter, that if it's not going to be walked through, then this Rakak Mayim does lose its status of being the Rishus Rabim. That's why it had to tell me Mahalechas Bo, that the Rishus Rabim is still usable. Aye, the chi regilin lahalach bo chayev. So this is talking as long as it's able to be used, even ayde adchak. So even though it's not easy to walk through this water, you're walking through a pool of water, nevertheless, it's still considered rishus harabim. The second one you need, v'chad lashminon, that this is dafke hiluch ayde adchak, shme hiluch. Though we still refer to this as a rishus harabim in regards to hiluch, because hiluch ayde adchak, even though it's difficult to walk, we allow you to do. But tashmish l'rabim, as Rashi says, avo tashmish l'rabim ayde adchak, to use this pit, if you have a post that's 9 tzvachim high, so people would constantly use this in the Rishus HaRabim, and we don't call it over here a separate entity. We say it's useful for people in the Rishus HaRabim to put their packages on it. So therefore, that's not called Shimush Ayde Atrak. That's called a regular Shimush, and therefore it stays as a Rishus HaRabim. But a pit that's 9 tzvachim deep, so people aren't going to use that. Well, technically, they could put a bag in there or something there to put it down. It's very uncomfortable to bend down 9 tvachim and put it down there. So therefore, the chiddush over here is mahalachis bo, to tell me only mahalachis bo ayideh tchak is still called the shimush, but shimush ayideh tchak, for example, gum or tisha b'rishus harabim, if you have a 9 tefach hole in rishus harabim, af agav d'chazil yitznuyeh be kumutza v'sudra, even though you could put your packages in there, lo habi tashmish. In this halacha, we don't consider the tashmish of the rishus harabim. It's different than the omud of 10 tvachim, shah rabbi miskasvin alav, that people put their stuff on it. So, okay, the Talmud said to Rava, I understand why it says mahalechas b'shus harabim twice. Once it tell me that hiluch ayidei d'chak shmei hiluch, and to as opposing tashmish ayidei d'chak lo shmei tashmish. Fine. But the Talmud asks to Rava, el rakak, treis imne, lomeli. Why do you have to tell me twice that there's a pool of water? What's the chiddush in the second case to tell me again the pool of water? So Rava answers his Talmud and he says, you need it for the following. We'll have several different tirutzim. The first one is from Rava. Rava says, chad b'mosa chama v'chad b'mosa gishamim b'tzricha. One is to tell me that this din applies even in the summer months when it's dry and dusty and hot, and one is to tell me in the winter months when it's wet and muddy and cold. U'tzricha. And you need both cases. Why? Because the iton echada, if you only told me one time rikak over here, so then you know what I would have said, it only applies in the summer months. Hav amina hani mila b'mosa chama. You know why people walk through this little puddle, this little collection of water in the summer months? Because it's hot, David de inshe, and it's regular for people, the maskela kuri now shayu, to go splash in the water, to go walk through the water and cool off. So therefore, it was normal. They walked with sandals, their feet were dirty and tired, and they would walk through the water and it would feel good. So therefore, in the summer months, this is used. Therefore, this is the Rishus HaRabim, even though there's a rakak over here. But you know, in the winter months, Abimosa Gishamim, where it's cold, and people don't want to get all cold and walk through water, lo, I might have thought, no. Kamashmalah, no, even in the winter months. So no, just tell me in the winter months, so why in the winter months would people walk through this? V'yashmin v'yosef v'kshamim, I would say, you know, only in the winter months do they walk through it. Why? The kiva and the metanthi, since the feet are muddy, because it's a rainy season. So therefore, they would walk through this puddle in order to get the mud off their feet. And therefore, the lo ichpatlo, since it's muddy anyway, they don't mind if they get wet and the mud comes off. Avo v'yosefchamo, when it's dry, so then lo, they don't necessarily want to get their shoes all wet. So therefore, you need to tell me rakak, rakak twice. One to tell me, according to Rava, b'mos hachama, and one to tell me, b'mos hagishomim. Again, you might have thought in the summer, they're not going to step through it, they'll go around it. And in the winter, you might have thought they're not going to step through it, you go around it, because you don't want to get cold in the winter, you don't want to get wet in the summer. So therefore, you might have thought each one is only for that time of the year. So therefore, it tells me to me twice, rakak, rakak, I know it applies to both. That's teretz number one, that's from Rava. Abai gives a different teretz. Abai Omar, Itzrich, you need to have it twice, rikak, rikak. Why? Because so could die to chaminach, I might have thought, hani mili hech lo have arba amos. I would say that in the situation where it is not arba amos, so then people walk through it. I will hech to have arba amos, you know what? Akufe makfile. It's so big, people are going to walk around it. Kamashulah, no, the people still will go through it, even if it's arba amos. That's why you have to tell me the second time. The first time, Rakako said, if it's less than dalet amos, people jump over it. They'll go through it. It's not such a big deal. But if it's more than 4 amos, I might have thought they'd go around it, and therefore it loses its status of being a rishus harabim. Kamashulah, no, it doesn't. That's teretz number two. Finally, teretz number three, it's from Ravashi. Ravashi Amar, Ravashi says as follows. Ravashi says, it's Rik, you need both the Rakaks to tell me the following. So kudai techaminoch, I might have thought on my own, hani mili hechod dahave dalid. I would have said that this is only true if it's dalid. Now, what does dalid mean over here? doesn't say arba or arba'a. So Rashi says, Rashi has the gears over here, hechad dahavi rochvo dalid amos. Rashi actually has the gears over here, dalid amos. The lav orche lemivsoi elo avure begave. Because people don't jump over something like this, they're going to walk around it. If they're going to walk around it, it loses its status of being a rishos harabim. So that's what I might have thought. Avol hechad lo have arba'a. Now here it changes it, and here it says arba'a, which means tvachim. So where avol hechad the lo have arba'a, if it's less than four tvachim, mifsoi psile, then people will walk over it, and therefore that's a rishus harabim. But if it's more than dalet amos, I might have said it's not a rishus harabim. Therefore, kamashulon, it's the rishus harabim. That's the gears that we have in Rashi. Many have a different gears. So they say when it said dalet, it meant dalet tvachim, because to jump more than four amos is a little bit hard. So therefore, they would read it as follows. If it's more than dalet tvachim, I would have said maybe the person's going to walk around it. They're going to walk over it and not have to walk through it. So therefore, kamash v'lan, we need both of these scenarios to tell me that in both situations, we still would consider this a rishus harabim. And in fact, Rosa Ravashi Latimeh, and this fits in with what Ravashi said elsewhere, the Amar Ravashi, Haiman de Zorik, Venoch Aguda de Gamla. If somebody goes and throws something and it lands on a plank of a bridge, Aguda de Gamla. A Gamla is a bridge, and Aguda is a daf, Rashi says, should be Gesher on this Gamla, on this bridge, that is different. It's not aligned with all the others. Umuvdal me chavero. So most people will step over this. Maybe it's loose fitting. Maybe it's a little bit precarious to step on it because you're on this plank wooden bridge. So most people would step over it. So maybe this doesn't have the status of Shusha Rabin. So Ravashi said, no. If you throw something and it lands on this Aguda de Gamla, which the bridge is a Rishus HaRabim, and it lands on this plank, which many people will step over, nevertheless, Mechayev, you are Chayev over here, Shari Rabin Bokibo, because some people, in fact, do step on it, even though many people will step over it. This is analogous to our puddle case, even though many people will step over it, but since some people will step through it, it still is called Mahalachas Rishus HaRabim. It has the status of being Rishus HaRabim, and you would be Chayev over here if you threw into this area or you threw Dalet Amos in the Rishus HaRabim. Next Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Hazorik min hayam labi yabosha. If you throw from a yam, again, the yam is a karmelis, Rashi points this out again over here, to the yabosha, the dry ground, which is a Rishus HaRabim. So, if you throw from that, you're not going to be chayav achatzis because it's going from a karmelis into a Rishus HaRabim. Or, min hayabosha, from the Rishus HaRabim, liyam, into the karmelis. Or min hayam l'svina. If you throw from the yam, which is a karmelis, into a svina, which is a Rishus HaYachid. So, it's the same thing. A karmelis isn't going to be an Issa Deraisa, whether it goes into Rishus HaRabim or into Rishus HaYachid. It's an Issa Derabanan, but not an Issa Deraisa. So, if you throw from the karmelis yam into the boat, the Rishus HaYachid, or vice versa, min hasvina, the boat, Rishus HaYachid, the yam, into the karmelis, or uminasvina lechaverto. Or if you throw from one boat into another boat, it's owned by two different people. It's only an issa derabanan to go from one rishus hayochid into another rishus hayochid. If you don't have an eruv chatzeros, in all of these situations, potter, you're not going to be chayav achatas. If the boats are tied together, svinos, kushuros, zubazu, and you made an eruv chatzeros, so then in this situation, metaltel mizulazu, you're not going to go carry from one to the other. However, im eino kushuros, if they're not tied together, even though you made a eruv chatzeros, even though it's technically, halachically, a single entity, and they're next to each other, we don't let you carry from one to the other, because they can easily separate apart. As Rashi says, there will be a karmelis in between them if they move apart. They're not tied together, so they can move apart, and therefore we don't let you go carry from one boat to the other. Mar starts off and says, Itmar, Svinga, the people that are on a boat, Rafuna Mar, what should they do? Motzin himena ziz kol shumamale. They want to go and get fresh water from the river around them. It's a freshwater river. So therefore, if they want to go bring up from the river onto the boat, and it's Shabbos, so how are they allowed to do this? So the situation we're talking about is that the yam is a karmelis, but only, according to Rav Huna, is the bottom part of the yam, the bottom 10 tefachim, from the ground up 10 tefachim, is considered a karmelis. Above that, just like Rishus HaRabim, above 10 tefachim, it's not a Rishus HaRabim, it's a makom ptur. So too, above 10 tefachim, from the bedrock, from the ground of the river, it's not going to be called a karmelis, and therefore, you technically are allowed, according to Rav Huna, to go take water from there, as long as your bucket doesn't go below 10 tefachim. from the ground up to 10 tvachim. So let's say the river over here is 20 tvachim deep. You just stick the bucket in the first 10 tvachim of the water. That's called the mokum ptur. And you're allowed to go min hadin, to go and pull up from the bucket without doing anything. Motzina mena ziz kolshu. So Rav Huna says that we make you go and take out, Rav Huna Omar, motzina himenu ziz kolshu. We make you make a hecker over here that you're not allowed to go stick the bucket too deep into the ground. Remember, it's a karma, it's deeper down. So make some sort of a hecker by just putting out a plank over here. And then you can fill it up to your heart's content. Umamale, take as much water as you want from the bucket. Rav Chisda, Rabbi Rav Huna, they disagree. Amre, they say no. Osa mokom arbo umamale. According to Rashi, they just have to make some sort of a makeshift 4x4 mechitza. It doesn't have to have a depth of 10 tvachim. According to Tosus, it has to be a real mechitza. It has to have 10 tvachim and 4x4 tvachim length and width. So in this way, you've created a Rishus HaYochid. It's above the water, but that works. Rabbis were makel over here. It's all a din d'rabbanan, so they were makel in regards to water, that this, what's called a mechitza teluya, a hanging mechitza, works to allow you to take up the water. But Rav Chisda and Rabba by Rav Huna, they require you to make a real mechitza over here, and Rav Huna just makes a hecker. So what's going on? So I already explained it. The Gemara says now, Rav Huna Amar, Motzim and Aziz Koshu Umala, you just have to stick out a plank over here as a hecker to remind you that you have to be careful that you don't go too deep over here, because it's a karmelis below that. So he says, Kesavar karmelis me'ara mashlinan. The karmelis only goes from the bottom of the river up 10 tvachim. And then, let's say it's 20 tvachim deep, so the next 10 tvachim are considered a mokum patur. Va'avira, that air, it's really filled with water, mokum paturhu. And therefore, u'badinhu diziz nami loli boy. You shouldn't need diziz at all. The rabbis instituted putting in a plank over here to remind you, hey, there's a caramel is deeper down. Be careful how deep you stick your bucket. On the other hand, Rav Chisda, Rav Huna, they disagree. Amri, they say, no, this caramel, this yam, goes all the way up to the surface of the water. Osa Malkam Arba, therefore, you have to make a mechitza that's 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim wide, umamale. And then you can use this as a hanging mechitza, mechitza teluya, and you take the bucket through this mechitza that's next to the boat. And therefore, when you pull it up, it's all a Rishus HaYachid, and you bring it into your boat, which is Rishus HaYachid, and there's no problem. They must hold, Kasavri, Karmelis, Misvas Maya Mashkinan. It doesn't go from the bottom. The entire water is considered a Karmelis, all the way up. And now, if you would go take the water straight from the bucket and fill it up anywhere in the water, they'll be taking it from a karmelis into Rishus HaYochid, which is an Issa D'Rabbanan. So therefore, Maya Aris Michsa, we view the water as being like a thick ground. The water is one thick body, and therefore it's all one big karmelis. And therefore, Elo Avid Mokum Arba, if you didn't make a mechitza in it over here, you would be metalto, komitalto, in karmelis Rishus HaYochid, which would be an Issa D'Rabbanan. So Rav Huna says it's considered really a mokum patur that you're drawing the water from, because it's well above the 10 tefach bottom of the river. So the 10 tefach, that water is a karmelis, but above that, it's a mokum tur, it's avira, and therefore you could take it. We make a hecker with a plank. And Rav Chisda and Rabbi Rav Huna, they say, no, it's the entire water is a karmelis, and that's why you have to make a mechitza, this mechitza teluya that will work in this situation. So you're going from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaYochid. Amar Rav Nachman, Rabbi Rav Huna, Rav Nachman asks Rabbi Rav Huna the following shaila. Ula Rav Huna, according to Rav Huna, that says the Amar Motzi Hemena Ziz Koshu Mali, that you just need to make a plank over here as a hecker. So what about if the water is not deeper than 10 tefachim? Zima Deleko Asara. And now, according to him, Chomataltim and Karmelis is just a yochid. So that's a big problem. You'd be taking actually from the Karmelis. So why isn't he concerned about that? So Rabbi Rav Huna answers and he says, because no boat is going to travel in water so shallow. It's going to get grounded. It's going to hit the bottom. So therefore, we're not concerned that maybe some of the boat is going to be in water less than 10 tvachim deep. Morris says, I'm not happy with that. Now Rashi understands this over here, that you have the prow of the boat. So the boat goes, the front of the boat, the prow, is higher than the water, and it can go in very shallow water. It's the hull of the boat that is deeper in the water. That's where all the weight of the boat is. But the top part in the front, it goes up very high. So maybe in the front, it's able to go in waters that are less than 10 tvachim, even though the back, the middle of the boat, is in water that's 10 tvachim deep. And maybe you're going to go take, with your ziz, water from the front of the boat, and that would be a problem. That's the way Rashi understands this. Tosos over here brings down Rabbeinu Hananel and says this Morasha is in the ground, in the water, that maybe the water is well more than 10 tefachim deep, except for this area over here, which has a little mountain in the bottom of the water, and you're actually only 5 tefachim from the top of the mountain. When you stick your bucket in, you're in this Morasha, so therefore, you're actually within the area of the Carmelis, because it's less than 10 tefachim from this Morasha, from this outcropping in the water. Doesn't get above the surface, but it's still now within 10 tefachim of the surface. How come you're not concerned about that? So either way, like Rashi or like Tosfos Rabbeinu Hananel, you have this concern. So Amar of Safar says it's not a concern. Geshushe azle kama, because you have people over here that go and stick poles. They don't want the boat to ground. So the people in the front of the boat are always sticking poles in, and they'll make sure that the water's not too shallow. That would be like Rashi's pshat over here, that the prow is above the water. As soon as they see they're getting near shallow water, they'll turn the boat away. They don't want it to ground. And like the Tosfos Rabbeinu Hananel, so they're going to feel these outcroppings that are coming up from the bottom of the water, and they'll know that this is a shallow area. Mark continues and says, Amalei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Rav Chiya bar Ravin, he says, according to the opinion of Rav Chisda, L'Rabba bar Rav, who know the Amri Osem Mokam Arba Om Malei, that you have to make the real mechitzas over here. How do they go? That's when they take in the water, fine, but how do they get rid of their water? Shochin didei heichishodilu. How do they pour out their wastewater from the boat into the river? Because they say the whole river, the whole lake over here is a Carmelis. So when they're going from their Rishus HaYochin and they're pouring it out, they're going to be pouring from Rishus HaYochin to a Carmelis. That's in Nisid Rabbanon. I can tell me, v'chitema d'shodilu b'yosum v'akum. Ah, they'll pour it through the same mechitza. Me'isile, that's disgusting. They're bringing up the fresh water from there and they're going to dump the wastewater down there? So that can't be. So what's the answer? So Rechia Bar Ravin says, the shadilu adafna desfina. They pour it down the side of the wall of the boat. They don't pour it into the Carmelis directly. They pour it on the side of the boat, and therefore it rolls down into the water. What it says, but what difference does it make? Va'ika kocho. So aren't they pouring it out in that situation? It's their own koach that's pouring it out. So how should that make any difference? So the Gemara answers, no, kocho b'karmelis lo gozru. This is a whole reason you're not allowed to do this, only this din derabbanan. The whole thing is in this derabbanan. And therefore, the rabbis weren't goes there over here, that your koach into a karmelis, your indirect making it go into the karmelis is a problem. To pour it directly into the karmelis is a problem. But to pour it on the side of the boat, and then it will drip down from there with your koach and go into the karmelis eventually, the rabbis didn't care. That they didn't make a gzer about. How do we know this is true? We know Tema. So what says the Tanya? Because we have a Bryson that says it's Beferish. Svina, in regards to a boat, you're not allowed to go and bring something from the boat into the yam, or from the yam into the boat, because it's a Carmelis into Rishus HaYochid. That's the opinion of the Tanakama. And Rabbi Yehuda adds, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Amuka Asar Vengvo Asar. If the boat itself is depth into the bottom of the boat is 10 tefachim, and the boat over here is not that much above the water, so it's within 10 tefachim of the water. As Rashi says, Vengavoa, Sifso Yud Min Amayim, it's not going to be the side of the boat, it's weighted down. So the side of the boat to the water is less than 10 tefachim. In this situation, Metaltel Mitoch LeYam, you would be allowed to go and take something from the boat and put it into the yam, but not the other way around. Avalo Min Hayam Letocha. Why not? Why don't we let you go and bring something from the yam into the boat? Because the komatal the karmus shus yachid. That because you're taking it from the karmus and shus yachid. I why the other round? Can you mitoch liyam nami? It should also be the same thing. Komatal the shus yachid the karmus. Why is that allowed? Oh, the chiddush of Rav Yehuda is elalav achuda. It means that you're pouring it not into the water directly, but you're taking it from the boat and putting it on the wall of the boat. And therefore, ushma mina. What do you see over here? Kocho b'charmelis lo gozru. The rabbis would not go there. Here you have a price in support of that, that the rabbis would not go there when you're pouring from the boat onto the wall of the boat and it goes into the water. That's kocho, but not directly. And since it's only dindarabbanon, the rabbis would not go there. Shma mina, this is in fact a good raya. With that, we conclude today's shir.